To repent is to have a change of mind and corresponding actions. Today, Brother David Johnson will share a sermon on the topic repentance and forgiveness of sins based upon Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. You likely know that this is the Words of Life program. We have been sharing the gospel of Jesus for a long time, and the message of salvation becomes dearer as we learn more about Jesus. We now begin with praise for our Lord.
It is well.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in appreciation for the great blessing of your love. We honor you with our thoughts and voices and with a time of prayer. Lord, we worship you. There are others who are dedicated to you in consecration and in service. Please bless them as well as us with the ability to serve you more effectively. Help us to be humble in recognizing your holiness. And we always are concerned about the persecuted Christians. Please strengthen their faith and bless them with the protection that is needed in order for them to serve you. And as we close this prayer, we pray that you will be with us and help us in readiness to be looking forward to the promised return of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above.
And I stand, I stand in awe of you. I stand, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
And I stand.
Brother David Johnson will now speak to us on repentance and forgiveness of sins.
It's good to be together again as we look in to the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Repentance and Forgiveness of Sins. And our primary text is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. Please listen to the Word of God. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the Word of God. The fulfillment of Scripture, from Old Testament foreshadowing to fulfillment in the New Testament, is one of the evangelist Luke's major themes. A commentator writes using the New American Standard Bible, quote, "This section of Luke's gospel sweeps from the beginning of Revelation in Genesis, the law of Moses, to the end of redemptive history, viewing the muriel of salvation from its start to finish." The primary emphasis of the Lord's words here is found in verse 47, where he declared that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name. This great commission mandate is for all believers, to proclaim not just those who heard these words on that day. Each generation needs to know the truths that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins must be proclaimed in his name to all nations. To spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ around the world, is the overarching purpose of the church. We are to share the gospel, the good news, while also living our lives with credibility and integrity in Christ Jesus. The concluding words of Jesus in Luke's Gospel harken back to a portrait of the beginning of Luke's Gospel whereby Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, declared a prophecy inspired of the Holy Spirit concerning what the Messiah would accomplish. That is, as according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 77, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. And so Jesus began his last words, as recorded in Luke's Gospel, indicating that Scripture was the foundation of God's redemptive plan. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." End quote. Jews use a threefold division of the Old Testament as law, prophets, and Psalms. The law refers to the first five books, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Prophets included the former prophets, the historical books, beginning with Joshua, and the latter prophets, Isaiah through Malachi. Psalms included the wisdom books of Job through Song of Solomon. The problem was that Jesus' first century AD disciples had been subject all their lives to inadequate, if not downright false, interpretation of the Old Testament by their rabbis. As a result, they were woefully unprepared to share the gospel of their Messiah, not just as king, but also as God's suffering servant, to give himself as an atoning sacrifice on the cross for their sins, in fact, for the entire sin of mankind. Therefore, Luke chapter 24, verses 45 through 46, "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day.'" Christ opened their minds, for example, from the law, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, that Messiah would come from the line of Abraham. Also, Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, that Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. Also, Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17, a prophecy that a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. For example, from the prophets, Jesus would open their minds to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 13, that he would be born a king of the line of David. Also Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, born of a virgin. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, born in Bethlehem of Judea. For example, open their minds from the Psalms. For example, Psalm 22 and verse 16, he would be crucified. Psalm 16 verse 10, he would be resurrected. And Psalm 41 and verse 9, he would be betrayed by a close friend. Biblical scholars have identified some 100 prophecies in the Old Testament fulfilled by Jesus of Nazareth in the New Testament. As Christ had earlier done for the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he gave them all a sweeping, messianic, redemptive interpretation of the Old Testament of prophecies concerning himself. Once Scripture is heard, understood, and accepted, then the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ is transforming to believers. Luke chapter 24, verse 47a, "And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached." We need to testify that once people acknowledge that they are sinners, they need to repent of their sin, because it has separated them from a holy, holy, holy God. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, it says in part, "Now he commands all people everywhere to repent." That is, to turn from their sinful lives, to pursue righteousness, to pursue God, as God has made the gracious provision so that the forgiveness of sin has been paid for in full by Christ's sacrifice on the cross and confirmed it by his raising him from the dead. However, it's not just repentance toward anyone. Luke chapter 24 and verse 47b, it is repentance in his name. Forgiveness of sin is available only through Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior who paid the ransom once and for all who receive him. Regarding Jesus Christ, it says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." His name here refers to his personhood and represents all that he is. To proclaim in the name of Jesus that there is forgiveness upon genuine repentance of sin is to do so consistent with the fullness of who he is and redemption through faith. The gospel was not just for Israel, but for all nations to the ends of the earth. Luke chapter 24, verse 47c. To all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This was also according to God's foreordained plan that the gospel was to be global, as prophesied in the Old Testament, for example, referring to Abraham. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18, "And through your offspring, or seed, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." So we Gentiles can be eternally grateful for that truth. Also, Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22, which says, "Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." Referring to God in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 6, he says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." The gospel witness calls on all believers to be God's ambassadors, to represent him. Luke chapter 24 and verse 48, "You are witnesses of these things," beginning with Jesus' first century AD disciples and down through the centuries to today, for you and for me as believers. And until he returns for his church, God has chosen to use human witnesses to proclaim the gospel in this present age. Jesus promised the power to begin this global gospel evangelization. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." The divine power to witness was the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, through whose indwelling Jesus is also with believers. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Since all born-again Christians are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, all are also empowered for effective witness. The question is, how faithful are we in sharing the gospel? Believers were not meant to remain in the secluded upper room, so to speak. We are meant to do our part in taking the message of the gospel to the world. The days of sorrow are past. The tidings of joy in a living Savior should be taken to all of mankind. Warren Wiersbe, a very fine commentator of Scripture, imparts these wise words, quote, "Witnessing is not something we do for the Lord. It is something that He does through us, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a great difference between a sales talk and a Spirit-empowered witness. People do not come to Christ at the end of an argument," stated revivalist Vance Harvner. "Simon Peter came to Jesus because Andrew went after him with a testimony." End of quote. We should understand that God doesn't want all Christians to be theologians. God wants all Christians to be testifiers of who Jesus Christ is, of what Jesus Christ has done, and what we need to do to receive Him as Savior and Lord. We can be sure that God will always do His part toward those who earnestly seek Him. We, in obedience, and in obedience to His Lordship, need to be the ambassadors, the testifiers, the witnesses, even in our own words, as to who Jesus is, what He means to us, what He has done for us, what He continues to do for us, and what He will do when He comes to take us home to be with Him. May we be obedient servants.
Jesus freely.
We appreciate your attention today. Perhaps you'd like to have a free CD of this program to listen to again or share with a friend. You're listening to program 2140. That's 2140. Please ask for it by number. If you have any questions or comments regarding our programming or your relationship with Jesus, please write to us today. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing the